Welcome back to this week's expert series on Aligned with Purpose in Life and Leadership. And to tell you I'm excited about this next guest is a complete understatement. I actually had the absolute pleasure of watching her speak live at Funnel Hacking Live this year, just a couple months back. And I was just blown away by her stage presence, her story, and most importantly, her journey of entrepreneurship and what she actually does to help other people through their journey and sharing their message on stage. So she's a high ticket sales expert, a virtual event coach, and is the founder of a lot of businesses that you've probably heard of before: Virtual Events Secrets, Confident Closer, Two Comma Kit, and more. And she hosts a podcast as well, which I can't wait to hear more about. Eileen, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, so glad to be here, Jamie, and thanks for all for listening. I'm pumped to dive in, give a bunch of value today, help y'all make more money. I know, isn't it fun? So right? Yeah, excited.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, and I have to say, I want to kick this off because I've got your book right here.
Yep.
And after the event, I devoured it, okay?
Oh, did you? Oh, cool.
Literally, I think I was done with it. And we've got a two-year-old. So when I say I was done with it, by the time we landed in our flight, that's a big deal because with flying with the baby is like a lot. So I devoured it, right? And I had a workshop I was actually already hosting like 3 days later. Neat. Okay, and I got to share this. So I implemented just a couple things from your book. And by day two of a three-day workshop, every single person had already booked a call, which had never happened before.
Oh, that's so cool, Jamie.
And I swear it's because of the magic that you share here. So I just had to start it off by that. But thank you.
So fun. Yeah. So glad. I know. Don't you love the kind of books that you can kind of like finish in one sitting? I love things like that, you know, and they keep you engaged. So I know we were trying to write it like that. So, you know, we all don't have a ton of time. Right. But I love those. Those kind of short books, get to the point. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. Well, you accomplished that perfectly. And now I love to kick this off by asking, what does it mean for you to be aligned with your purpose?
Feels amazing. Yeah. I took me about 40 years to find it. But when I did, I have more joy, wake up like crazy excited, so blessed, feel every second I want to pinch myself. Yeah. So such a journey maybe for many of us listening, though, finding that purpose, always uncovering it, right? We're always going to the next level, but I can encourage you, even if you find your purpose later in life like I did, it's worth the wait. It's just 100% better. Everything gets amazing. So keep going, everyone listening, keep going.
Beautiful. Such a beautiful answer. Now, I know entrepreneurship especially can sometimes feel like a roller coaster. I mean, I would love to hear what has led you to doing what it is you do, right? And being aligned with your purpose today. Yeah. Where did this all start?
Yeah. Well, I was a pastor for about 18 years in Washington, D.C. with my husband. So we were come from a nonprofit ministry-based background. That's where I got my start in speaking. So grateful for the church that I grew up in that let me speak, believed in women speakers. So that was amazing. But kind of took a right turn when I went to a conference called Funnel Hacking Live, and I just had no idea, Jamie. I was like, who are all these people? Where have I been? All these people were getting these big awards on stage. Like some of these awards I'd never even really met a millionaire. And I was watching person after person go up on stage getting $1 million awards. And I was like, oh my gosh, everyone here is a millionaire. Like I was just so accosted with the sudden surprising finding of this community of entrepreneurs. And it was so cool because there were great people like you. They were like not just making a bunch of money and helping people, but they also cared about purpose. They cared about making a change in the world. And I was just like so excited. I felt like this is so fun. I'm definitely getting in this much later than everyone, but I'm in, you know. So we were actually Uber driving at the time, so we were just we were in debt, quite a bit of debt, actually. When I went into the conference, someone paid for my ticket. But once we got in, like things just started taking off. And that's where we discovered our system that helped us make a bunch of money. And now we teach the system to other people. So fun.
That's amazing. What an incredible story you have. And I remember hearing it from the stage, and
yeah,
it really resonates. And so this system that you're speaking about, right? The system that you learned after this event, right? That you started implementing for yourself and your clients. I would love to hear more about how that looks.
Yeah. Well, it was so cool. So right after Funnel Hacking Live, we basically started learning about sales, because that's what I thought. That was the big reveal to me. I was like, oh my gosh, wow, you can like make something and then sell it. That's what I had never heard of before. So, but because we were speakers, we learned like how to do a little event. And so the system that worked for us, which is the one that we teach other people to do now, is, you know, create something you're going to sell and do an event. And if you do that, and you can even charge, like sometimes they call it high ticket or premium prices for the thing that you're going to sell at the end of the event, you're doing what the coolest thing that you've ever heard of. If anyone's listening, you use this thing called leverage, because now you're not selling one person to one person, which can kind of take forever. And you're like on the phone all the time. You're selling this really cool thing to a group of people all at one time. So imagine like in 1 hour talking to, I don't know, 20 people, 40 people. So cool. So our clients, we had a client who did less than 200 people in the room, did $1 million day. And so we kind of by accident, Jamie, like, because of our speaking background, we were used to doing events, but we put that together and we had this, our first event, we did $108,000 in a day.
Wow.
Crazy town, right? So then we just started teaching everybody else. We were like, you know what? You could just do an event. But then, Jamie, what we were finding is not everybody was having the same success that we were having. Like, we were doing six-figure day. We eventually did our own $1 million day, then multi-million dollar days. Like, we were just going. And what the missing ingredient, Jamie, we found was speaking well. So I'll dive into like how everybody here can increase their speaking. But if you can speak well at your event, then it's like game over. Then it's like, what happened to you? By day two, everybody's like, Jamie's amazing. This is insane in the membrane. I'm in. So that was the little lever that we found in our system. If we could increase someone's, Warren Buffett said that if you can increase your communication, you'll increase your net worth by over 50%.
Wow.
Almost overnight. So it's crazy town how the words we're using and the way we're saying the words is the difference maker.
Wow.
For sales. Have you ever met anybody, Jamie, that like has a really great offer, but they're just kind of boring pants when they're talking about? Yeah. Yeah. Like, and you can like even remember great teachers, right? Like it's the exciting ones. It's the better speakers that we all love, know, like, trust, and remember. Right. So that's what we teach people to do. And what's so cool, and I'm really excited for those of you listening, that the book teaches you how to become a crazy good speaker, even if you're like afraid of speaking and you've not done a good job at it before. So it's like a skill. It's just a skill. So yeah.
Ooh, this is exciting. So two things are coming to mind for me.
Yeah.
One side is like, okay, cool. So we're going to host this event. We're going to work on being a better speaker, but there's probably always that fear of what if nobody buys? There's no table rush.
No table rush. Everyone's crickets. Yeah. That's that. And that will happen if you're growing in your communication skills, but like be of good cheer. Even our beginner speaker students, once they learn the system of like, well, I'll see how quick I can get through it in this interview of speaking better. Even if it's a small room, they still, even if it's one sale, let's just say they get one sale. Let's say they get one sale at 2,000, 5,000, maybe even 10,000 if we've worked on their offer, right? Now they have evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have offer validation, and then they go again. And what's cool about this is these aren't like big fancy pants events. This is like a Zoom call. We call them a 4-hour masterclass. They're just quick and easy, quick and dirty. So like it was like, it's like, hey, just we call it a pop-up event.
Mm-hmm.
So we teach people to just keep going again. And the more you do it, the better you learn speak, more sales you make.
So true. Okay. Yeah. So that was kind of creeping in my mind because yeah. I've hosted virtual events and we've had people come up and I thought it was going to be a table rush and it wasn't.
And it wasn't. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's all of our journeys. Hence why you're running this business now. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But then the other side is, gosh, public speaking.
Yeah. Crazy. A lot of fear around public speaking. Not everybody has a crazy fear. I know I did. So I was the person, Jamie, I actually ran out of the back of a room one time during an event. They called my name. I was so scared.
Oh,
I found the back door and I ran out.
Oh, get out of here,
man. I totally did. And I remember driving home and being in like lying down in my bed, in my house. And I was like, I had so much shame and guilt. I'm like, and I remember thinking, I will never get over this. I will never get over the fear of speaking. Now, you may not have that problem, and people listening may not have the problem, but some people, they actually say it's the number one fear, even over death.
Wow.
Yeah, Jerry Seinfeld said, like, people would rather be in the casket than speaking at the funeral.
Oh my God.
Isn't that funny? So, I have some great tips and tricks for those of you who have like a little fear, but there is a way to actually change the game in your mind and make speaking super fun. And once you make it fun, then you like, it just is crazy pants. Like you're having fun. The audience is having fun. People loving to buy. It's so, so cool if you can get over that real quick. Yeah, I can help. I can help. I don't know how much time we have on this interview, but yeah, I can relate if you have that thought, those of you listening.
Ooh, well, I love the topic of fun.
Yeah, do you?
Oh yeah, I love this. And it's been a reoccurring theme lately, so I think we go that way. So
cool.
How do you make speaking more?
How do you make it fun?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the way you make speaking fun, like it is so. This is crazy. So I actually love to start with people in their body before they think about like the stuff in the mind. So this is crazy town, but all these studies show that you can increase testosterone, which helps you like perform better, and lower cortisol before you speak if you do certain postures. So those are you might be listening, you might be looking at me, but if you imagined a posture of an Olympian who's running a race and he crosses the finish line and his arms shoot straight up in the air, that's typically every time somebody's winning, that's actually instinctively the posture. So you put your arms up in the air, and if you're looking at me, they're straight up and just like I'm palms up, face, you know, to the sky, and you stand like that for 3 to 5 minutes before you speak. And the studies show you increase testosterone and lower cortisol. They call it the power pose. Now this is even funnier. This is so fun. If you clench your butt while you're doing it, this is even funnier. Studies have shown that anxiety often will translate in the legs of speakers, where the legs will shake because the cortisol is climbing and the body is getting ready to run.
Oh wow!
Like from an animal or a tiger, or like isn't that funny? So it's like you're about to go stand up and stand sort of still, but your body and your brain is telling you you're going to sprint.
Wow.
So you can harness the energy that will be in your legs by clenching your butt. I know this sounds so
wow.
funny. Yes, you clench your butt and do the power pose. Instantly, your testosterone will go up, your cortisol will go down.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know.
Oh, I love it.
I know. And then, okay, so let's say like you're doing your power poses. I'll tell people, go in the bathroom. Nobody has to see you. You don't have to look like a crazy person, you know, in the green room before you get up there, whatever. Like just go in the bathroom and do that. And then I'll tell them, I want you to think these two thoughts. I want you to think, I am 100% divorced from the outcome. What do I mean? I mean, you want to get up there with the posture of, I have no attachment to these people needing to do anything for me. They don't need to applaud. They don't need to stand up. They don't need to think I'm amazing. I don't need anything from them. Because when you stop needing your audience to do something for you or to think you're a certain way, or you actually position yourself to now be in a place of complete service, right? Because now I'm not putting any pressure on you to do anything for me. I'm here for you. Does that make sense? Because so often we're like, as speakers are thinking more about themselves, Jamie, than the person, the person in the audience who was them 5 years ago.
Mm.
Yeah. Right. So I'll be like, divorce yourself from the outcome.
That's weird.
Doesn't even matter what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're good. Right. So I'll have them think that thought, divorce yourself from the outcome. And then I'll have them think about the face of somebody who's never heard this information and they're hearing it for the very first time. And it might even be life-saving information for them and their family.
Wow.
Can you imagine the face of somebody, Jamie, you know, like what sharing this, the ninja stuff that, you know, and they're like, oh my gosh, I've never heard this before. Like me, if I don't hang in live, I was like, I know what is it? You know, like, and it's almost like water to the thirsty soul, or, you know, like just oxygen to somebody who's been in prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like to hear, I would love to hear your story. Like you were in Maui and now you're in Colorado, and it's like these amazing places, and you're a mom. Like, for people to hear, wow, I could live in purpose and have abundance. You know what I mean? So I'll tell my clients, I'll picture the face of the person who hasn't heard this information, but it could be life-saving to them and their family. That changes the narrative, right? Now it's like, now I'm on a mission.
Yeah.
Now I don't even care about if somebody doesn't like me, thinks my hair is too blonde. Like, I'm not even thinking about that. Now I'm out for the Jamie in the crowd 5 years ago, the Eileen in the crowd 5 years ago, who changed my life in an instant because of one speaker.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shifts everything.
Right.
I mean, then you no longer care if you've got something in your teeth,
yeah.
Right? It's
yeah.
like, oh, we have a mission.
Right. Yeah. You don't care if you trip, you fall off stage. I mean, like, you don't even care. You're like, listen, I'm not here for you, Jerry in the back, or Karen, you know, like, I'm not here for you. I'm here for on a mission for the people who have ears to hear, right? Eyes to see. So like, I'm called for those people right now.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Now, what about even just like the prepping for the event, right? Like, if somebody shows up?
Oh, yeah, that's
then
fun.
Then you're prepping in the background, you're in the bathroom, you're getting ready. Yeah. And you walk out there and it's like, okay, mom, hi, thanks for coming.
Hey, mom. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, mom.
Right. Well, you know, I can dive into that too, like how to fill the room and make sure there's lots of people there. But even so, let's imagine like that would be some speaker's worst case scenario. Or maybe it would be worse if there's like four people and there's 900 chairs and they're all scattered throughout. Oh, that might be worse. I heard somewhere that something like it's 5 to 9% of entrepreneurs will ever do their own event. So even in that, I would be applauding the willingness to stand up and speak, the willingness to go, the willingness to do the event, even if, because again, if I'm divorced from the outcome,
that's true.
Then I'm thinking, like, I remember one time, Jamie, I did an online event and it was like a Zoom thing. And it's like, it was a couple of years ago. I was in my apartment, my 2-bedroom apartment, and the wrong Zoom link went out to all the people. And I didn't set it up where I could see people's faces. So I did the whole event thinking there were people there.
Mm.
And my team was too scared to like tell me, like,
oh, wow,
no one's here. Basically, does that make sense? So I'm on camera doing my thing, thinking there's all these people there, right? But the wrong link had gone out. So anyway, the event gets done. My team tells me. And you know what came out of my mouth? I said, that was a great rehearsal.
I love it.
One more rep. If we could reframe what some people would call failure as just practice, that would be sick, wouldn't it? Like, we would be like, thank you. Like, thank you. legitimately, thank you. I'm like, literally like, thank you God that happened to me when my audience was that size and it is right now. Like we can take something good, can't we, from everything that's happening? So even if there's nobody there, who cares? You did it. I would be like high-fiving you. I'd be like, girl, there's so many people who are so afraid to do this. Look what you did. Getting traffic is easy. We can fill that room easy. No big thing. But you did it.
I love it. Yeah, your mindset is so powerful around this. And I love that story. And that was one of my biggest takeaways from your book.
Was it?
Authenticity, vulnerability when sharing your story.
And
finding the moments like that were learning lessons, were experiences that got you to where you are today. And so I have to say that was one of my biggest takeaways. And that was actually what I implemented in that workshop that I was spending time in the story.
Ooh.
And feeling the emotion and getting them to feel something.
Wow. That is so great.
Yeah. So thank you for that. I know.
Oh man, that's so cool.
Beauty of it. Yeah.
Getting the audience to feel is the name of the game. For everybody listening, that is the secret sauce in our speaking. Is people only buy what they feel like buying, right? So it's emotion that drives motion. Like it's the emotion, right? So it's the emotion that's moving them towards the sale. So that's so cool, Jamie. Yeah, getting them to feel. Ooh, let's go.
Yes. Well, then what else in your world holds people back from stepping forward and becoming this million-dollar speaker?
Yeah, well, a lot of people are like, what am I going to say during my event? So I could help you all right. And then how do I fill it? Those are like the big, crazy, crazy big things, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is so awesome. I learned this from Tony Robbins, where he talks about like all success leaves is clues. Like there's clues for success. And when I learned that the best and most successful speakers, the way that they became great speakers and the way that their language patterns became so famous was they were modeling other speakers and other speeches. So I found out, like, I was like, wait a second, like, I don't have to come up with all the content for my event on my own. I just have to go like curate the best speakers and the best speeches, study their stuff, especially, Jamie, the speeches that caused table rushes.
Yeah.
These are the most high ROI speeches. Because if this person over here used these language patterns to cause a table rush, there's something there.
Yeah,
right? So I call those bits. So I started studying all those bits and I started curating all those bits and I kind of like keep them. And that's what I recommend for everybody is like, when you find a great speech or a great like story or something that moves the audience, like transcribe it. That's what I did. I transcribed it and I memorized a lot of them. So people make the mistake that they're going to have to talk for hours and hours and make up all this content. But you like, it actually goes way better if you don't do that. If you just curate stories from other speakers and then give them credit. So when I did my first event, I was saying like, Brendan Burchard says this, Russell Brunson says this, Myron Golden says that, Jason Flatland says this, Napoleon Hill says that. And the minute when I did my pitch, the desire was so high.
Wow.
For the offer. Everybody ran up to get it. Like literally that was the emotion in the room. They were like, oh my gosh. And I was like, oh, those pieces of the content, that's what created the desire and caused the sales.
Wow.
So don't come up with the content. In fact, I'm like imploring everyone listening. Don't come up with the content. Now I'm not saying steal. No, I'm not. I'm saying give attribution. But if you curate content like from the best mindset teachers, the best high performance people, the best motivational speakers, the best sales closers, you will skyrocket your sales.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. That's a gem.
Yeah.
you're like this.
Yeah.
This is the key right here.
Yeah, like I was just doing it right before I got on the interview with you. It's like studying sales closers, studying the language patterns, transcribing them.
Oh, I love this. Yeah. Okay. Oh, this is so fun. So now when it comes to podcasting, right? If we're shifting to like, so you mentioned you do these 4-hour masterclasses, but if we're looking at a podcast, right? Like I'm a podcaster here, right? So how do you use these principles in something evergreen like a podcast?
Well, all okay, good. And here's my question, Jamie. Do you often interview other people or is it just you on the podcast?
So I do 2 episodes a week and I have 2 guests per month.
Very cool. So the question is with podcasting and there's no like audience feedback that you're getting because it's just you and a microphone, right, Jamie? That's the question. How do you implement great speaking on a podcast? Okay, this is cool. I have a really good friend. He's an incredible podcaster. And he read our book, went through our system, practiced the speaking skills. Now, before he was like a good podcaster, but after he did the book, he got people started writing him in, Jamie, and they're like, we had to pull our car over because I got so excited while you're speaking. I had to get out and run around the car. I know. It got him so
Amazing.
excited, so and so much momentum and so much motivation. That's the audience started going to the next level, right?
Oh,
So
cool.
then the question becomes like, so let me see how quick I can teach this. All right, let's see if I can do this, team. You'll get the book. The book will go in deeper detail. But if you begin speaking in this type of framework, we call it the BITS framework, you will cause your audience to engage with you. Meaning, what does that mean? Like on the other end, when they're listening to your podcast, they'll be doing things like this. Wow. Oh my gosh. I got to write that down. I got to send this episode to my friend. I got to post this on Instagram, on Twitter, because the way Jamie's doing it is so good. So,
I like the sound of that.
how do you do it? So a lot. So this is the speaking framework. When you're telling your content, either from your stuff you're modeling or you're saying it in your own words, you start with I. I was here. I was doing this place. I was listening to this story. I was reading this book. And then this happened. I, first person, he, she, it, like this, like Napoleon Hill was here, or Jesus was doing this. You're telling the story, first person, but then you shift to you. You know how when you immediately shift it, this is whistle work for all podcasters everywhere, you. Now this, Jamie, is where it separates the boring speakers from the great speakers. Boring speakers will just stay in I too long. Have you ever, Jamie, like been at a party and somebody starts telling you their story and they're going on and on and on?
Only every party I've ever been to,
Yeah.
yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
And
yeah.
they're like, and they don't realize that you like checked out.
Yep.
I you go,
Yep.
you know, it's because the speaker has spent too long in first person. So you shift as soon as you can to you. You know how when you that's a good starter phrase. You know how when you, I actually did it right then too. In just our conversation, like, have you ever been at a party? So when you shift your stories and shift your speaking into you, the audience thinks that they're in the story. They are in the story. You're like caring about them. You're like, have you ever? And it's just like when you get in a movie and you get lost in the movie theater and you like get lost. That's what happens when you go use you. I, you. I don't know how much time I have, but like, even if you just did that, like immediately people will listen to you.
Wow.
I to you. And then in the book, we go deeper into how to make a point, how to make a sound bite. So the audience thinks, oh my gosh, Jamie's podcast show is fire sauce. Yeah, that's how you do it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I remember this in the book. And that's what I really brought into the program when I was
Yeah.
sharing my story, was really
Good.
going through that framework. And
Awesome.
I could just tell they were captivated. People were crying for my story.
Wow.
was like, what's going on right now? It was wild. And that hasn't happened yet. Haven't shared the story yet on the podcast.
So cool. That is amazing though, Jamie.
Yeah, it was really
that cool. That actually is really hard. Well, in my opinion, that is really hard to do as a speaker, because for me, you have to go to such a depth of emotion yourself as a speaker in order to emit that kind of emotion in the audience. So I just applaud you for doing that, because sometimes I speak a lot and you don't want to go there every time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like difficult, like, to go there again and again and again and again. So that's really well done.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much. And I guess, you know, I usually ask for a book recommendation at this point, because I love to hear maybe one book that's changed your life. Yes. And then of course your book.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh wow. There's so many. Holy crazy pants. Let me think on specifically about speaking. I'm going to probably have to go with Influence by Robert Cialdini. So the books by Robert Cialdini continue to amaze me. Here's one here, Persuasion, Influence, Robert. So these are all speaking for persuasion, not just speaking for speaking's sake. It's to actually influence the audience in a very powerful way. So yeah, probably have to go with his books.
Okay, beautiful. Yep.
There's a couple more that are coming to mind, but let me just tell one more. Jason Flatlin is an incredible book, One to Many.
Okay.
Incredible, incredible.
I'm going to add that one to my list. I haven't read
that. Yes, amazing. Another book on persuasion, influence, and sales. I like to call it sales speaking. Sales speaking is like the type of speech, not just speaking, you're like sales speaking. So it's like I'm moving the audience to a point of action.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
And now the point of action here.
Yeah.
Is 100% picking up this brand new book that just dropped, so that we can learn this framework in depth. And I promise you guys are going to devour this thing. So where can we find your book?
Yeah. Yes. Jamie has a link that she's going to drop in the show notes. And when you attend this training, you'll get the book for free. So you'll get it. So pumped. Yeah.
Cool.
I think it's, you have the URL, Jamie. So I'll just love you add it to the things.
Yeah. I'll add it to the show notes so you can find it below, but that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Pick it up for free.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing. I think I was one of the first people like in the world to get my hands on this, right?
Yeah. We actually 100%, you were the first printing, and we have not released it other than this training that people are getting to scoop. Yep. So a bunch of people are like begging to get a copy that you have your hands on today. Yes.
Oh, that is so special. Amazing. And now, are you feeling called to share anything else right now for that listener who has speaking on their heart, or a message or a mission or something that like that person needs this? What would you say?
Yeah. There's a great quote by Brendan Burchard. That was so cool. I was like speaking with him after Funnel Hacking Live, and I was telling him how much this quote meant to me, because he said, your internal insecurity is not market reality. And so it's a dense quote, but let me unpack it. Like, so often we think my story isn't powerful. Who wants to hear what I have to say? You know, I don't want to offer this thing because so-and-so crazy cool guru expert's already offering this thing. And we have this tendency to diminish our story and diminish what we have to offer. So for that person listening, I just want to encourage you, your internal insecurity is not market reality. The market would love to hear your story. And the market would love to buy the thing you have, because the way you do it is totally different than the way Sally's doing it and Susie's doing it. The way you say it, the way you deliver it is truly remarkable. And I love how the scripture says, my sheep know my voice. So what does that mean? That means like there are people who are your people. And the only way they can come to you is if they hear your voice. And the people that are called to Jamie and the people that are called to me are not called like to you. Like there are people called to you that are not our people. So it's like your internal insecurity, all the thoughts, all the feelings about how it could go, the event could go, how, like, isn't market reality. The market would love to buy your thing. They would love to hear what your story, because your story, those of you listening, your story is totally different than Jamie's. And so your story is meant to connect with the people that you're called to reach. So that's why I just want to encourage you, raise your voice, lift your voice, stand up, get loud, have the event, do the thing, because your people need to hear what you have to say.
Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me. And like we said below, please check out the show notes, click on that little link down there and grab yourself a complimentary copy of this book, Million Dollar Speaker. And Eileen, where else can we find you on social media if they want to just follow your personal journey?
Yeah. Well, Instagram's always great. My handle is Eileen, E-I-L-E-E-N Wild, at Eileen Wild. And love to keep you encouraged, keep you motivated. That's my goal there on social, is just keeping you encouraged to find your purpose, fulfill your destiny, and do what God's calling you to do. So,
well, thank you so much for joining me today. It was such a pleasure.
Thanks, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.